Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We're back. We took a little bit of a break and first show back. Andy, how you doing?
Good afternoon there, partner. It's our first actual show in quite a while. We took a little bit of a break. We didn't because we went live periodically. Yeah,
true.
But this is our first new show of a new content, a new topic, probably since July, I want to say. So happy to be back.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so this is episode 139. We're going to be doing a show about songs that we think are underrated on each album. Or Nick from the Ultimate Classic Rock, he did this a few months back, and we'll figure we just give our thoughts. His picks. I disagreed with a bunch of his picks that he thought were underrated, and we're going to do ours. I did happen to do this with another podcaster a few months ago, Hudson, on his I Know. So, but since then, I've changed my mind on a few things. And we'll talk about that once we get to that. But Andy, it was just so great to finally meet you in person. Thank you so much for coming out here. You and Ethan came out and, had a good time. It was Ethan's birthday. And then we just took you guys to a bunch of record stores. And what'd you think of Arizona? Yeah, what'd you think of Phoenix?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's what I thought it would be. It's a great city. Lots of stores. I mean, looks like your typical suburban area, but a little bit more obviously. Driving around on the highways and seeing all in that area of town where you showed us where all the houses are, like up on the mountains. I forget where that was.
That's Paradise Valley.
I mean, that was incredible seeing those kind of views. And I told you a couple times when I was out there, I felt like I was watching an episode of Breaking Bad.
Right.
And Heisenberg was going to come out somewhere at some point.
Right.
Yeah. It was just a great time. And you and your wife were so hospitable to me the 5 days that I was out there, and just chauffeuring me around to and fro. And was really a trip that I was looking forward to for quite a while. And I'm glad. Now, almost 2 years on, we were able to make it happen.
Yeah, so now I got to get my butt out there and hang out with you, and have a good time.
Yeah, I got to do the New York thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to finally getting out there. But funny, before we get started, we made a friendly little wager about Paul and whether or not he was going to tour again, and figure we can start talking about this because I have seen little bits and pieces here and there on Facebook, people asking the question, is Paul going to tour again? Should he tour again? And like I said, we made a friendly little wager. Myself, I said I don't think he's going to tour again. I think he's done. You think he's going to go back on the road still?
Yes, I do. I do. I think Paul, from the minute he could walk and talk, was a performer. And if there's going to listen, it might be not in a venue of his usual fashion, like a Dodger Stadium or a MetLife Stadium or the big arenas, but he will find a way to play somewhere. If he has to scale it back and do what Bob Dylan did recently with his he did a streaming event with a couple hundred people. And Paul is going to play again, in my opinion. It may not be what he's used to, where he just does his big Beatle Paul McCartney show of 40 songs. But maybe that might be a good thing, because that might challenge him to do a little more intimate show, different songs. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I have a different feeling on that because, as this COVID thing continues, I just don't see him taking the chance and doing a more intimate setting. If anything, it will be outside in a baseball stadium or whatnot, just because it's, safer to be outside than it is in a smaller venue.
Listen, and I just went to a concert last week with 2,000 people.
I hear you. I've been catering concerts for the last couple of weeks to myself, people are, they're ready to get back out. I mean, I was talking with Dave Mustaine of Megadeth and, during that show, and he was just like, he asked me, are you excited about live shows coming back? And I said, hell yeah. I mean, I'm very excited. I mean, my wife and I, we've already been to see a comedian, live. We're looking at other shows to go see. I'm probably going to go see Kiss here this month one last time.
Oh, you are going to go?
Well, you know, both of them got COVID last week or a week and a half ago. So their shows are supposed to start back up on the 9th. We'll see. This show, I think, is on the 24th or 27th. I forgot the date. But if it looks like their shows are going to continue, then I'll get the tickets. The tickets are cheap. You know, it's a pavilion, so I'll just get the lawn lawn tickets. Seats. Yeah, exactly. I think it was just like $40, you know, so that's not bad. And I'll do that. And so yeah, I'm really excited about that. And but the thing is Paul is being very cautious. He's still wearing a mask everywhere he's going. So I really just don't see him doing anything until after this is completely gone. And who knows if it will be completely gone, this whole COVID thing. So it depends on if he wants to take the chance or not. And I just don't see him doing that. And on top of that, when he does start touring again, there's a good chance he'll be over 80. I don't know if I want to see an 80-year-old McCartney. You know what I mean?
You'd go. Who you?
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I just look at. Remember 3-2-1 where he's at the piano and he's trying to sing and it just doesn't sound very good.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't sound like that, but you know, I'm just very cautious.
Right he would now. Have to tailor it. He'd have to change keys and songs. He'd have to really kind of prepare it and get his vocal chops back to snuff. Right. You know, the band will be fine. You know, the band will be fine.
Absolutely.
Can his body, as he's didn't, you know, approaching 80, handle a three hour show? I don't think he can either on that level, but I just do think, I think he's going to perform. I just do.
Okay. Well, I say, you know what? Forget the touring. Just work on albums. Just give us
more albums. Just give us more stuff. I'd be fine with that, too.
Right. You know, work on that sound check album you teased us about a few years back.
Or come up and you know all his stuff is digitized now. Come up with a subscription thing on PaulMcCartney.com to charge people $100 a year or whatever. Wow. They can have access to everything.
That's right. Other bands do that.
They do that.
Metallica does that.
Come on. You and I would sign up for that today.
Yes. Absolutely. I would take full advantage of that, my friend. Full advantage.
Forget about it. Well, downloads. Right. I mean, you know, and it's already digitized, so maybe that's the great plan. Who knows?
Right.
Maybe if he doesn't tour again, maybe that's what he does to offset things.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah, so please leave in the comments whether or not you think he's going to tour or if he's not going to tour. And just, you know, just think of it, you know, think of it realistically. Just don't think of it as what you want. I mean, think of it realistically. I mean, do you think he's actually going to take the chance? I mean, will he wait until this pandemic is over with to go back out on tour? Let us know your thoughts. You know, so I did find another record store, you know, after you left and found a really cool item that I wanted to show before we got started here. But I knew about this from the John Blaney books. And this is the 10-inch Press to Play single. Thank you. This is the Press single. A lot of people don't realize that he was doing all these different things, even in as early as the 80s, you know, different variations of singles, different variation of albums, you know, even way back then.
Single edits, totally different
single
than the
edits,
album version.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
So this thing is pretty cool where it's got this first slip here that you pick up, you know.
Right.
And that drops down. Then you got to go this way.
And then open that up.
And then you open that up. You know, this drops down. This comes up.
Very nice.
Yeah,
and you got a UK import. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. So you got press on side A, and then you got another press video edit, and it's not true.
On side B.
So you know, very cool. I'm gonna be playing this later. I haven't got a chance yet to play it yet since. You know, my wife and I just celebrated our 12th wedding anniversary, so we've been, you know, kind of busy doing the rounds this past weekend. So
congratulations.
Thank you. I got something else that I think you would like. I think you should check out. I don't know if you have this one or not, because I know you're a fan of Peter Cetera, but this is his debut album. Now
I don't.
So he's recording this during his just his stint with Chicago in 81. Okay. Still with Columbia at the time, Columbia dropped him halfway through, while he was making this. So they pretty much dropped Chicago and this project that he was working on.
Wow.
Yeah. So then, you know, Warner Brothers signed them up. Then he was able to finish the album. And, you know, it's completely different than what, you know, his second album, I guess you would say, Solitaire. I
mean, yeah. Which we geeked out to in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Afternoon, we cranked that thing up, reveling in 1980s nostalgia on that record.
Right. So this is completely more a rock feel to it, and definitely interesting. I think you would dig this. So I think you should.
I will. It's just self-titled. Peter Cetera.
Yeah, Peter Cetera. This was on Amazon, but it's an import. But they have copies here in the States to
76.
No, 81.
Oh, 81. I'm sorry.
1981.
Okay.
Yeah, 1981.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So. You know, it's funny how, you know, he was able to release this, but then, you know, they didn't want him later on to, you know, do solo albums and stay with
the band. And stay with Chicago, right.
Right. But then Robert Lamb's been able to do that for for the last, you know, few decades. But you know what? That's, you know, unfortunately, Robert Lamb is, you know... he's great writer, great singer, but, you know, he's not been what
he's not Peter
was. No, he's not Peter, but phenomenal writer.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
You know, phenomenal songwriter. But okay, let's get to the topic. Once again, we're talking about, songs that we think are underrated on each album. So we're just going to go through the main canon like we did with the ranking of the tracks, and we'll just, you know, mention a song from each album that we think, you know, kind of gets the shaft. I mean, it's underrated. It should get a little bit more respect than what it does. So, Andy, why don't we go ahead and start with you? We'll start with the McCartney album, debut album. What song do you is underrated on that album?
I was thinking about a lot of these, and I'm sure you did too, when you go through them, you're thinking like, well, is it underrated or do I like it? Now, a lot of songs were probably underrated at the time, but over the last 10, 20 years, they've actually been reevaluated. So now you couldn't call them underrated because now they actually are appreciated. So you have to kind of rethink your approach a little bit.
Right.
And I chose for McCartney, I chose Man We Was Lonely.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I wanted to go with Junk, but Junk has grown in stature, of course. So like that's well known. Every night's well known. And all those key songs are appreciated. But Man We Was Lonely, I like just because I like the guitar effect on there at the beginning of it and doubling with the piano.
Right.
And Paul and Linda both kind of sharing vocals on it. It closes side one of the LP. So I kind of feel that's a nice little underrated gem. Early song with Paul and Linda doing the harmonies and singing together on it. Which from McCartney I've always liked.
Right. No, that's a great pick. And I considered that as well. I went with you mentioned Junk, but I went with Sing Along Junk. Just for the fact that because of the playing on that, I think is just really done well. I mean, his guitar playing, his piano playing,
doubling the melody is phenomenal.
Yeah. Exactly.
But the director of Jerry Maguire must have realized that too, because he used it in the film.
He did use it. That's right. He did use it in Jerry Maguire. So I think Sing Along Junk is a song that should, you know, warner a little bit more respect than what it gets. I know it's an instrumental, no vocals, so it tends to get overlooked.
It does.
But go back and just check it out just for the instrumentation itself.
Yeah,
I listen
to Sing Along Junk more than I actually do Junk when I put that record on. Actually, you could just listen to it on a loop.
Right.
You're really good.
Absolutely.
Great pick.
Yeah. All right, Ram, my friend.
You want to take Ram?
Yeah, I'll take this one. I went with Long Haired Lady.
Interesting.
One of the songs that I've never really been the biggest fan of.
I didn't think you liked that one.
Yeah, no. Early on in my Ram, you know, listening, I mean, it was wasn't one of the ones that I would, generate towards. But over the years, I've really come to appreciate it. I love Paul's vocal approach on this one. I still think it might be, you know, a little too long. I think this one was over 5 minutes or so, maybe six.
Maybe six.
But, yeah. But, you know, I love Linda's backing vocals on this. The more and more I listen to it, and I think it's done very well. I mean, this is the really showcases Linda's, you know, ability, you know, backing vocal ability, and you know, musically, I think it's great too. But I think again, it maybe just draws on a little too long. But
right, very multi-layered of production too, all over it. It's got all the different levels of production on it too, so it's nice on that piece as well.
Right. Yep.
Ram for me. I went with the song before that, "Eat It Home."
Nice.
I wonder how many we're gonna have any matches today. I'm sure we'll have one or two. I went with "Eat It Home." You know, buried there on side two. I've always loved it. It's to me. I think it's a little underrated. I think it's one of the stronger tracks on Ram. Paul channeling Buddy Holly a little bit there with the O's and stuff. Great guitar work on it too, and great melody. You know, the whole "Bring the Love That You Feel for Me." That's just catchy. That's just super catchy. And I've always, Ram, as we now know, has really been evaluated, and it gets its due praise. Too many people, Dear Boy, especially in recent years, is getting a lot of press.
Yep.
The Backseat of My Car gets a lot of love now.
Obviously, the number one hit.
Yep. Obviously, Uncle Albert does. So, the Long Haired Lady, Eat at Home. These are nice two underrated gems for us on this one.
Yeah, great. All right, Wildlife, you're up.
Wildlife, this was tough because it's only 8 songs. This was tough, but I went with "Some People Never Know," which I think, I mean, tomorrow was the kind of the almost hit. "Some People Never Know," again, to your point on "Long Haired Lady," it does run on a little bit long. It's like 6 minutes, over six minutes. But again, like "Manly Was Lonely," Paul and Linda, the vocals, changing lines. I've always loved "Some People Never Know." Which I think it has its origins really to the last stages of the Beatles. That song actually came about as well. You know, and it goes on and on and on. I know it's a longer song, but I've always loved "Some People Never Know." The melody is just infectious throughout the whole thing. So that's what I went with for Wildlife.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a terrific song, and I think it has garnered more respect over the years. The one I went with is "I Am Your Singer," the another duet from Wildlife as well, with Paul and Linda. Again, it was one that I really, you know, never really cared for early on when I discovered Wildlife, but really love it now. Again, I love Linda's vocals on this. I think they're fine. They did this live. You know,
the live over Europe version from the box set a couple of years ago is tremendous.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I really enjoy this song. I think this one goes on a little too long again too, but it's fine. Yeah, maybe, but it's fine. I think it's great the way it is. Obviously, you know, like you said, tomorrow was the hit that never was. But "I'm Your Singer," I think it's great. Again, it's you know, after this, you really didn't see many Paul songs, duets.
Not like that. All those early records, Ram, you know,
Wildlife,
Life, these records have that. And then after that, it kind of. That didn't really. They became a little bit more of a, I guess, a, you know, Paul's band, really.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well. I mean, with the addition of Denny, which you know, utilized more and more as the albums, you know, went along, you know, on the backing tracks. But yeah, it's you know, good stuff. Always been a big fan of Wildlife.
Red Rose.
Red Rose Speedway. I went with "One More Kiss," which is, you know, a little bit of a country flair song, lighthearted, you know, relationship.
I said a foolish thing last night.
Exactly. And boy, can I relate to that. Maybe that's why I like the song so much.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd take it bad.
But anyways, no, I love the song, love the sentiment, love the guitar playing. I think on this one, I think Henry does a great, you know, do 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 do. I love that guitar,
little country and western.
Yeah, exactly, feel. exactly. So "One More Kiss" to me is one of the standout tracks on Red Rose Speedway, but you just don't always hear a lot of people talking about it.
Absolutely not.
So I mean, obviously, with "My Love" on the album, you know.
Oh, that got all the praise.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Even again, that box set came out almost three years ago now. So, "Little Lamb Dragonfly" gets a lot of praise now. So, obviously even Big Barn Bed, a lot of people like that now.
Get on the right thing.
So that's a good underrated track for your pick. Sometimes they only, the books credit it. Was it going to be called Only One More Kiss or One More Kiss?
Right.
You know, but they called it that. My pick for most underrated track on Red Rose Speedway should be no surprise to anybody, and that would be the freaking medley on side two for the win, baby. Win, 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 win.
Okay.
Hold me tight. Lazy Dynamite, Hands of Love, Power Cut, 11 minutes of pure pop ecstasy for the win. I can't say enough about it. It's underrated. I don't give a shit what you say about it. It's good.
No, look, I mean, it does has its fans, you know, absolutely. And I'm sure people leave their comments, you know, some people might pick the medley. I'd be interested to see. You know, after you guys are done and listening, please, in the comments, you know, put your most underrated song.
You knew I was going to pick that, though.
And that's fine. I know you love it. And that's great. You know, it's great. It's got its fans.
It's what's make the world goes round, you know?
Absolutely. Band on the Run, you.
Me or you? Me. You, yeah. I went with Mamounia. I went with Mamounia. A lot of people don't like this song for whatever reason. It gets overlooked for whatever reason. I love everything about Mamounia. It's a standout track for me on the record. You can definitely tell that the origins were written when they were in Lagos, when they wrote that song. I think it was the hotel or at the time when they were actually touring before Band on the Run, they stayed. That was the Hotel Mamounia, I think. And I love everything about it. You hear the Moog synthesizer coming in at the end of the track. And all the kind of the melody is all kind of coming together. It's an infectious song. I just listened to it the other day in preparation of this show. Mamounia for me has always been, I mean, Band on the Run, we know, is like the album. So, even like 1985, over the last 10 years, he's played that into his set list. If that song hadn't been brought back up to be played live, I probably would have went with 1985.
Right. But
that song has got its justice now. He plays just about almost the whole album now, but I think I have an idea of what you went with, but I'll let you tell everybody.
The only song I still do not tire of on this album to
no
this
words.
Day, no words.
I knew it.
No words to this day. It's the only song I do not get tired of. I can hear the song over and over, repeat for days on end, and it's a perfect length. You know what I mean? What, just 3 minutes? I mean,
3 minutes.
In, out, sleeping. Done. And you know, I love the combination of Denny and Paul's vocals together. I mean, they do a great job. I love the, you know, Paul gets a little high there. You know, you're burning love, sweet burning love.
Even, right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, just perfect. I love the little guitar bit there at the end. I mean, this is one of those short songs that you wish could have been just a little longer, maybe
because
one more verse.
It fades out. So just as it gets going, it fades right out.
It just
riffs off to the end.
Yeah. I mean, there's those like little short songs sometimes that you wish were a little longer, like, you know, Feeling Groovy, which is under like 2 minutes, and you just wish it was just like a little, you know,
right?
You know, a little longer. I wish this one was a little longer. But no words, I think. Still to this day, I enjoy the hell out of this song, and man, I really wish I was in the UK in 79 to see this live. You know
that, I mean, that's probably my favorite song on that whole set list is when they do No Words. And that version is just kicks ass in Glasgow on that tour. Right. Awesome, great pick.
Yeah, Venus and Mars. Venus and Mars. I went with Love and Song. On this one, you know, again, you know, when you know, Paul just comes up with these great ballads, usually on every album, there's a call, usually one or two, excuse me, great ballads. And I'm really appreciating this one more and more as I listen to it. And you really, you know, don't hear much, you know, about this one a lot of times, you know, especially with like songs like Listen What the Man Says, you know,
Rock Show,
Magneto and Titanium Man. This one kind of
love you, kids.
Yeah. This one, I think, sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. Love I love the opening.
A little sitar, nice little sitar. Yeah, and then that wonderful chorus that builds up to the happiness in the homeland.
Yes.
The screaming vocal. It's just incredible. Yes.
But I love how mellow it starts first.
Right.
You know, and then builds up. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Paul's, my heart cries out for love,
again, it builds. I can see the.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Just tremendous. Listen, yeah, you can hardly go wrong with some of those, but the hugeness of that album, that's one that definitely gets overlooked, because again, think about it, right? Venus of Mars, rock show, and then it go right into kind of a quaint loving song, which I think was one of the first songs recorded for the album, even. It was one of the earliest ones for sure. Nice pick,
what you got? Thank you.
I went with the closer, Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People.
Great track as well.
A lot of times, echoing Tom's point about the ballads, I mean, that's, great big finish, sappy. It might be sappy. It's got a little bit of in-joke. Again, another case, great example of Paul taking two song ideas and linking them together as one, which he has done forever on all of his records. So, Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People. Just here we sit. It's just so good. I think it's great. I think it's just a great song. It's a great closer. Again, for the ardent rock fan, they probably think that's a bunch of, sappy crap, but we love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if I love it as a closer, but I definitely love it. A lot of fun. And then still, great vocals from Paul as well.
Nobody asked us to play.
Exactly.
The best. Yeah.
Wings at the Speed of Sound there.
You.
Andy. No, it's you.
I keep forgetting the rotation.
Don't worry about it.
This one was a little bit of a difficult one because the big hits on this, were like the big hits, right?
Right.
Even like Beware My Love, it was a big showstopper. But I went with Must Do Something About It.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think that's a gem on this album, that showcasing the only Joe English vocal in all of his time with Wings on a song that Paul wrote. Of course, which we've heard since the archive, we've heard Paul's version of it.
Correct.
And Must Do Something About It is just, I was going to go with this or San Ferian, but Must Do Something About It is just is a great little tune that kind of comes out of nowhere. And it just lightens the mood of it's a heavy record and a lot of rest. Silly Love Songs, Beware My Love, Time to Hide, and then you get this slight breezy, great vocal from a drummer who had a great voice and does a really good job with Paul's number. I've just seen another sunset. Boom. Right. And it's like, it's a nice breath of fresh air. So I think that one is really an underlooked gem on Speed of Sound.
No, good pick. Good pick. When I did this with, on the other show, I had picked San Ferian. And
I remember that.
This is one of the albums where I changed my mind and I went with She's My Baby.
Comes out at night.
Exactly. It's like gravy.
Baseline.
And the same with San Ferian too. Great baseline on that one as well. But this one, it's just so playful. I have a long history with this song, so
keep mopping it up, my baby.
And like you said, wonderful bass line, and vocals are fun, and very rarely hear people mention She's My Baby when it comes to, because listen, Let Them In, Silly Love Songs, like you said, Beware My Love,
Time to Hide.
Yeah,
the four big pieces of this album that were a major staple of the live set. So
right. Yeah. So
You didn't pick Cook of the House?
No.
Brown Rice Sugar. No.
All right. We're moving to London Town. For this one, I picked More Smooth Than the Grey Goose. Again, this is a track that unfortunately, people just, I don't think, have caught on to this one.
No.
And it's just so much fun. And it's, and this really showcases what Denny and Paul could, can do, and what I wish they could have done more of, just a little bit more on that experimental side, getting instruments and just banging away on them, you know, like they did with the piano on there.
Yeah, so much going on in there. There's piano, and then, you know, and then talk about bass riffs, you know, the bass riffs and that. It's just, it's present throughout the whole song.
Right.
Now, I don't think it goes with the flow of the album, because the album is much more low-key, mellow.
And I think that could be one of the reasons why it closes the album, you know, because it just got nothing to do with the rest of the album.
Really. Which is great, but that's great.
Right.
Oh, I mean, everything about that song, great pick, by the way. I mean, it's just, you know, so much going on, you know, and on down at the bottom of the sea, and screaming vocal, and then that little sea shanty section in the middle, you know, Grey Goose was a steady boat, people said she'd never float. About everything, that song has everything with the kitchen sink thrown in it, so.
Exactly.
You know, I'd be curious, I didn't scan the lyrics. I mean, I would love if he had chosen that song for the lyrics book, but I don't think it's in there. That would be cool, though.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. What do you got?
London Town, I went with the third track, the acoustic ballad I'm Carrying.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Which, you know, kind of, it's again a song that kind of continues the whole mood of the album. George Harrison even went on record saying it was his favorite song on the album, too, when it came out at the time. He liked it as well. Again, Paul was singing to a pregnant Linda at the time, who was pregnant with James. So great production work on that, strings, you know. Right, you know, that song could have been on Chaos. It could have been on. It could have fit on any McCartney album. That's just McCartney's songwriting, top notch.
And it was used for, I believe it was on the In-Laws soundtrack, where we first heard A Love for You. You know, so that was one of the songs that was included on that soundtrack. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great fantastic ballad.
Yeah,
and again, with a little luck, you know, London Town, even the single. Even I was looking at, like, I was gonna go with, like, Don't Let It Bring You Down, but that got included on Pure McCartney. So these are songs that's a song that, you know, obviously he's, you know, creeped out, but I'm Carrying. Yeah, I couldn't go wrong with that one.
No, not at all. Back to the Egg. Let's start with you.
I went with Arrow Through Me.
See, now do you think that's underrated?
I do.
Okay.
Nothing. Why? I mean, it was a single, it had a video, top 40. I mean, but I do think it's been I think it's a little underrated. Now, listen, there's a lot of songs on that album you could pick from. I think that's a rare example of Paul kind of channeling that kind of, you know, funk soul sound, which he didn't really do too much of, which you're a big fan of, and you love that period of music. And unique, that it opens up with those synths like that. I think it's been a little underappreciated. I mean, again, I know it's on Pure McCartney, so it's got its fans, but I think Getting Closer, you know, the Rockestra, you know, the other songs on there kind of really get the heavy praise. I think it was a single. Maybe this could have been a tweener pick, but it was more sentimental for me. What do you got?
I've got the rocker that I think gets lost in the shuffle, and that's To You. I mean, when you got, like, Spin It On and the others, Getting Closer, Rockestra, you know, Old Siamser. I think this one kind of gets lost in the rocker shuffle.
It definitely does.
You know, and I think it has a great vocal from Paul. You know, and I love the backing. It could happen to you. You know, I love all that stuff. And, you know, and
get it out of my nose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so, you know, I love that raspy, rocking vocal from Paul on that one.
Which
you
that know, song one, definitely has. Right,
yeah, and this one kind of gets overlooked in my opinion. But yeah, we're going to be talking more about Back to the Egg in the future. And we'll touch on the songs more later. But yeah, this one I think is just, I think it deserves to be up there a little bit more, get a little bit more praise.
Well, out of all those rockers on the album, To You is definitely buried in that lower tier of rockers, for sure. Right. It definitely is. And it's not, and honestly, it's not, out of the rockers on the album, it's probably, I would probably listen to it the least. So,
to your point. Understood. Yeah.
No, exactly. But it definitely could be reevaluated. And it's getting great vocals on it, too.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully when we get that, you know, that Back to the Egg London Town, you know, reissue box sets, you know,
maybe before we're dead.
Love. Yeah. Anyways, McCartney 2, I went with the bluesy On the Way.
I knew that was coming. Yeah, you love that. You love that song.
Yeah. Yeah, always. This was always when I discovered McCartney 2. When I first heard this one, really loved this one a lot. I loved the guitar playing a lot. I loved the echoey effect on the vocals. And I think this is, you know, one of the you know, kind of more traditional songs on McCartney too. It's not that as experimental as the other stuff is. Really cool that B.B. King got to do this one for the Art of McCartney.
Art of McCartney,
perfect,
yeah.
Perfect choice to do, you know, on the way, B.B. King. I mean, how can you go wrong
with that? How can you go wrong with that? So, it's right up his alley. Right,
exactly. Exactly. So really cool track on McCartney too, on the way.
Yeah, I went with You Know It, Suckers.
Suckers.
Bogey Music.
I went with Chick.
I went with Bogey Music because it is just so far out there. It's crazy. Buddy Bogey. Bogey on two of the street. Man, yeah, I mean, it's just that song is so wild. And I know if our friend Ethan Alexanian is watching it, I'm sure he's happy with my pick because I think that was his favorite song on the album when we ranked it. It's because I could have been safe and went with One of These Days or Waterfalls, but those are just, you know, but Bogey Music is so freaky and so it's so different. And McCartney was doing that then. I mean, listen to Check My Machine. That's all on there. But Bogey Music, I've just, you know, the horns in it. It's again, very much like Tom's pick with more smooths. It's full of all kinds of stuff going on in it. And, you know, if you haven't listened to Bogey Music, give it a shot because it is out there.
It is. Good pick. I like that one. Yeah. All right, Tug of War.
Tug of War. I'm not taking it away because that would be too obvious. I went with The Pound Is Sinking. I went with The Pound Is Sinking. I think The Pound Is Sinking represents the last time you hear Paul channel that Abbey Road type level of vocal ability of screaming and yelling, especially with the "Oh, it didn't happen." Right. Oh,
yeah. You know where the roots for that song came. You can, you know, that version. We know, you know, why that appeared, and you can kind of feel the passion and
you hear it,
and you hear it in his voice. You know, but go ahead.
You hear, but that's to me, that's the last. I mean, that's the last example of Paul hitting that vocal ability. Right. That's, you know, I'm not going to get psychosomatic here, but you can read into it what he's talking about here. You know, you really can. I only knew you for a minute. Your heart just—I mean, that is to me. He's saying it without saying it,
and right?
He really is. And again, two songs is one. Hear Me, Lover. Right. Hear Me, Lover. And you know, so two songs into one again. And I've always felt, and of course, this one has so many obviously big hits on it and stuff that's gotten a lot of play. But I've always felt that The Pound Is Sinking is an overlooked gem on Tug of War.
No, I agreed 100%. You know, and The Pound Is Sinking, I mean, that song alone would probably make an interesting episode if we were to, like, break it down a little bit.
Maybe something to do with our friend Anthony Rotunno at some point.
Maybe. I went with Somebody Who Cares, you know, track that, again, you know, you got Tug of War, you got Take It Away, and then, you know, you go into the kind of softer song of Somebody Who Cares. You know, again, this one kind of gets overlooked as well because you got the big Wanderlust, you got Ballroom Dancing, Ebony and Ivory.
The title track.
Exactly. You know, so this one kind of gets buried down there as well. Great, you know, pick you up song. Great, good lyrics. Great, acoustic guitar playing on this one. So a lot of the things that we love about McCartney are in this track, you know.
And I defy anybody who's having like a real crappy day, put that song on, and if it doesn't make you smile. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's right up there with Too Much Rain, you know, in my opinion, you know, or, you know, Who Cares or something like that. Something, you know, Paul's out there talking to you. I mean, if you're having a bad day, you know, put that track on and hopefully it cheers you up a little bit.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pipes of Peace. I went with Keep Undercover.
Love, I'm gonna kick you up.
Exactly, and usually, and you know, you hear that opening bit, you know, and then it just goes, you know, it does a 180, and you just don't expect,
boom,
right? Yeah, and you just don't expect you don't know what direction it's gonna go in. You think you know, if you're new to the song, if you're a McCartney fan, and if you're kind of like getting into the song, you hear that love, I'm gonna you know. You're totally caught off guard with the direction that it goes in. I think, you know, I don't know what you think about
it. No, it's just, you're right, because you, well, again, if you've heard that song, then when they worked on it, it was a very much that was song was like worked on with Wings and their final incarnation. It's like, you even then, if you've heard those outtakes, it didn't have that that, you know, 180 degree left turn that you're talking about when the song takes off. It just, it was like plodding along, and then it kind of, the production value on it and the arrangement of it as on the album, as Tom's talking about, that's what takes it. It's like, whoa, all the strings all of a sudden, you know?
Right. Yeah. So what do you got?
That song, do you like it? Like, I mean, lyrically it's full of, you know, nonsense, but do you just like it because?
Oh, I love the music aspect of it. I love the you know, and just the whole arrangement.
You know, and his vocals on it, your love, I'm going to pick you up, you know.
Yeah. No, and great vocal. I think, you know, lyrically, it's not one of his best, but, I mean, he makes up for it with the vocals, and they make up for it in the arrangement of the song.
Is that is that a song that you used to just say, screw this, I didn't like, it's crap?
Oh, no, never. No. This has always been one of my favorites on Pipes of Peace.
Interesting. Yeah. I wasn't sure where you fell on that. If you evaluated it, so you always liked that one. Okay.
And I think it would have fit nicely on Tug of War myself.
It probably would have. Yeah. You know, throw off Be What You Can See and throw that on there. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
I went with Sweetest Little Show.
Another good fine pick.
Which I know our friend Dylan Seavey, he adores that song. And again, he shed some light on it to me. There's a lot. It's like a three minute show. You know, it opens up, you know, a typical verse, chorus, verse, you know, and then it kind of has a little acoustic interlude, and then it comes back out. And then here's this, you hear the clapping, you know, and you've got the sweetest little show. It's like a little movie in 3 minutes, which is why I love Sweetest Little Show. And again, an album packed with a lot of, obviously MJ's on it. So Say, Pepsi Peace, So Bad, bigger hits. So, you know, this song and Tom's song are definitely ones too that have flown under the radar.
You've been around for a long time.
I hope so. And they criticize, but we just smile. Yeah,
make them smile. Make them smile. No, good pick as well. Broad Street. What do you got?
This one was tougher because it was because you know, got a couple to work with, and you can't pick No More Lonely Nights because everybody loves that song. I went with Not Such a Bad Boy.
Ah, okay.
You did you too?
Yes, I did.
Of course you did. I know. Well, because with only you could have went with No Values, Not Such a Bad Boy, or I'm drawing a blank here.
I originally went with Ballroom Dancing, just because of the small little differences, in that version. But when
wave,
I thought
wave
about
the
it,
sword, wave the
right,
sword,
right? Exactly. but you know, going back and looking at it, I think, you know, Not Such a Bad Boy. Oh. You know, again, it's just, you know, one of those rockers that we didn't really get a lot of.
No,
in the
80s.
In the 80s from Paul. So, and I kind of enjoy this one a little bit, maybe a little bit better than No Values. I think of No Values.
No Values. It's a little more bluesy.
Yeah. A great lineup, you know. I wish that was like a touring band for
Dave Edmonds. Yeah.
You know,
Chris Spedding, Ringo.
Ringo. Yeah.
The percussionist. Linda, Jody Lynn Scott, the percussionist. Right. That would have been great now. But see, stylistically, would this song have worked on Tug of War or Pipes of Peace? I don't think it does.
Probably not.
You know, maybe it's, again, a lost period for him, really. In a lot of ways, but I mean, just for that opening riff, and you're like, wow, this is going to be a great song.
Right.
Left at the Teachers. Oh, so good.
Yeah. So then we go to Press to Play, and then I went with, you know, one of my favorite tracks on there, Footprints. If you knew that was coming. Yeah. Yeah. And if you listen to our ranking the tracks, you know that I put that one very high on my list on that album. And again, I mean, when people, I think, you know, just think of the 80s production on there, and then you forget the other little songs on there that really don't have a lot of that, you know, that big 80s feel. And I think Footprints is one of those tracks that you don't consider. I think Footprints, the way it is, I think that could have fit on like a Tug of War.
It really could have, because it's, and that's such an understated song production wise. It really could have.
Right. You know, you kind of, you know, enjoy this one a little bit more now, right?
I do, because I hate to be, it just sounds so like whatever, but I never listened to it really until I met you and you told me how much you liked the song. I hear this little acoustic thing and honestly, I would just skip it. But then I actually listened to it. I'm like, is there something going on here? And it really would have worked to your earlier point about why would it have fit on a tug of war? I think it would have. And it's definitely for that album, for Press, is definitely overlooked for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And, I think so. Yeah.
Again, these are songs really that they really need to be reevaluated in our opinion. I mean, and somebody out there, I hope, you know, if they don't know it and they listen to it and like it, I mean, come on. This is genuinely good stuff here. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Footprints, you can't go wrong with Footprints. And that's a song that your average Beatle fan does not even know.
No. But if it was a Beatles song, I think it'd be considered a classic.
1000% agree.
Yeah. But go ahead. What do you got for Press to Play?
For Press to Play, I went with, okay, so this one was tough because it's not the version on the album it's the single version, and that's Pretty Little Head. So I'm cheating a little bit on this one because it's not the album version, but Pretty Little Head to me that's a top 20, 25, you know, McCartney song, which people in YouTube land, stay tuned. Tom and I are doing a top 100. Bastardo. I didn't want to give it away. All right. I'll shut up now. I'll stifle, as Archie used to tell Edith. Whatever. If I was doing top 25 Macca list, Pretty Little Head's on there. So much going on in there. The drums, the vocals. I'm bringing the video, but the video for it is awesome. But again, Ursa Major, I mean, it's like a She's Living Home part two. It really is. The lyrics Hillman coming down from the lava. It's just, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it's just put together so well. Now, especially the 12 inch remix by John Patoker is off the charts good. And that's the one you should listen to.
Exactly. And I do enjoy the single version that you just mentioned much more than the album version. So now we've moved on to Flowers and
Sprinkles Flowers.
What do you got?
I think we're gonna pick the same one on this one too, partner. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I went with Distractions.
Okay.
I know it. I know you because I know you. Now this one again, a lot of choices on this one you could have went with, but I know that you weren't picking Motor Love because I know you can't stand that song. But Distractions, again, the reevaluation of Distractions, great video, almost like Footprints in a way, that same kind of delivery, soft, gentle acoustic sound.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, lovely string arrangement in that song too as well. Great, again, Distractions is, that's a song worthy of a revisit. And when you look at Flowers as a whole, right, the big ones, My Brave Face, Figure of Eight, even this one, you know, We Got Married. Those are key Flowers tracks, right? And this one kind of gets overlooked. And I'm sure you agree. So go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the smooth, mellow vocal approach on this track. You know, the arrangement I think is top notch. And I think people did, you know, get to appreciate this more once the box set came out a little bit. You know, there was some, you know, attention, you know, around it, but you know, people are like, oh, maybe this was overlooked or so, but this one, I think, you know, continues to be overlooked. And I think, you know, and to your point, you got so many key moments on there. My Brave Face, We Got Married, you know, and so on. And so Figure of Eight, you know, this one tends to get buried and, you know, it's a lovely track. And, you know, he just does this kind of music so well that you kind of, you know, take it for granted. You know, sometimes, and then you hear it and he goes, oh, Paul's just doing his ballad thing. Here you go again, you know, this is just a lovely track, you know, it's beautiful.
It really is. It really is. Distractions.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh man. Yeah. Tremendous. Off the ground, brother.
Off the ground. Okay.
La 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 la. Tom's favorite album. La 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 la.
All right, everybody knows where I stand on this album. However, it does have its moments, and for me, the one that I think maybe gets a little praise, but maybe could get a little bit more is I Owe It All to You. Track that, you know, obviously for Linda, but she opens that with the Celeste, and it's just so beautiful the way she, you know, she opens that track with that instrument. And you know, Paul's vocals, I think, you know, and it keeps, you know, again, it starts out and it kind of builds up and it builds and it builds. And I think it's one of the standout tracks on Off the Ground, and I think it's one of his better second half of the career ballads.
You like it that much?
Yeah, I do. I like it that much. Yeah,
I went with probably a little more obvious one, in terms of the reevaluation underrated, but and that would be The Lovers That Never Were. I think now a lot of people, and I know Tom loves that 1988 demo with Elvis Costello is phenomenal.
Forget about it.
That is tremendous. Okay. But there's something about the sheen on the production of this one, the clarity of it, the big drums. I really like that. I mean, I love the demo, and I know Elvis Costello said that is the one to listen to, and we got
absolutely.
Yeah. We got it on the Flowers box. But there's something about the cleanness of that production on the album version, which I have always just loved. And again, McCartney hits that vocal range. He hits that you know blossoms and leaves. I mean, that's just awesome. That is a track that, and again, Off the Ground was played a lot on that tour, Looking for Changes, Hope of Deliverance, the big single, which did very, very well in Europe.
Yeah.
Come On People was a stalwart in the concerts, but I think that one, Lovers That Never Were, again, top 25, easy.
No, you know, again, to your point, the demo, you know, for me, it's my go-to when I want to listen to that song. I mean, the vocals are just so much more raw on that one than what was the finished product. And don't get me wrong, I mean, it's enjoyable. You know, the vocal approach, I mean, it's not as raw, but it's still strong, you know, on that track.
The demo is phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Flaming Pie in Europe.
Flaming Pie, this one was tough. This was a tough pick for me, but I went with Heaven on a Sunday because you did too, right?
Yeah.
I knew I had a feeling that I went with Heaven on a Sunday. This is one we can just, you know, it's a hard one because everything on here, the World Tonight single, Flaming Pie, it's been a concert, it's a beautiful night, you know, the Calico Skies. So, you know, these are songs, Little Willow. Those are so, but Heaven on a Sunday, Linda's last appearance on one of Paul's records, which is very prophetic that she's on there on that. His son's on it, playing a great acoustic guitar on. Great. A Jeff Lynne production. You know, sets the mood perfectly, you know, and again, it's very, very breezy, laid back song. And I think when you look at Flaming Pie as a whole, that's the one that kind of gets overlooked a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree too. Again, you know, very smooth vocal approach from Paul. I love the mellowness of it. I love the dual kind of guitar solo between him and you know, son James on this one. And it's just a beautiful track. It's you know, you can tell that he wrote it while he was out on a boat. You know, it's just like it's got that kind of like boating feel.
Yeah,
you know, to it. You know, you're just chilling on a Sunday, you know, kind of thing going. And I think it's a great song, and it definitely deserves a lot more praise. So
Sure. So
we've
matched up on, let's see,
three times here. We got Heaven on a Sunday, Not Such a Bad Boy, and Distraction.
And Distraction, not too bad.
So we're going to Driving Rain now, and my pick for that is Your Way.
Little country and western feel.
Another country western feel on that one. Again, it's one of the shorter tracks on, and I think maybe that's why I think it's, you know, I love the flow of it. It doesn't really go in off many different directions. It's just, you know, straight, simple, kind of, you know, another kind of ballady, you know, a little more up-tempo ballad, if you will, from Paul. You know, another fine vocal from Paul as well. And but yeah, I really dig the country, you know, country feel to this.
I'm telling you, when I first heard that song 20 years ago, almost, I've like this. I'm like, this could have been on Wildlife. It's got that Wildlife feel to it.
Right.
It just does. Very good pick. I like that choice as well. And I go in one that's one also is underrated. I agree.
Yeah.
I went with the song Heather, which. Forget the title, forget the name of the song, but the The melody is one of the strongest he's ever composed. Now you listen to that, and it's mostly, now this falls, is it an instrumental or is it a vocal? I think we talked about this on a prior show. I view this as mostly an instrument. It's an instrumental with a couple of, with a verse at the end. But to me, the melody on this, you know, awesome throughout the whole thing. And then, you know, the scratch vocals that come in. Awesome. That to me, that's like Paul on an Abbey Road level of writing. And the song's called Heather, so people aren't going to listen to it. It's now, but that's a good track.
No, yeah. I mean, you got to, I mean, it's been long enough since she's been out of his life. I mean, yeah, you know, he does whisper the name at the end of the song, but, you know, you guys didn't know this woman, you know, we don't know the whole story, you know, between their relationship. But, you know, again, you know, like to what Andy said, I mean, it's a beautiful melody. I mean, especially love the opening. I mean, it's great. It's great. I don't consider it an instrumental because of there's enough vocals on it. There's enough of a verse on there for me to consider it an actual song with lyrics. But I think that's a great pick, you know, great pick.
Thank you.
All right. Chaos. What do you got?
Chaos. I went with Anyway. I went with Anyway. This was another tough one for me. Because again, it's, you know, the album is the themes, the theme, all the, a lot of the music on this album all has the same theme to it. Anyway, this never happened before. Right. Promise to You Girl is my favorite song on the album, which we covered and when we ranked the tracks. But Anyway, I think is a song to that story, how we got it, the demo, massage and stuff. But I think Anyway, a lot of people criticize it for sounding a little bit too much like People Get Ready. Because that has the same kind of feel, but I think Anyway is just a nice closer. I think because people get caught up in that whole album, Fine Line, and all the other stuff on it, English Tea, and Tom's Too Much Rain, which is one of Tom's favorites as well. Riding to Vanity Fair, which lyrically and musically is a very adventurous piece. So there's a lot of going on there. I think Anyway kind of just gets lost as a typical McCartney ballad, almost in the vein of Treat Her Gently, Lonely Old People to close an album, and I think it's. That's why, I mean, and again, it has that coda at the end. I've only got two hands.
Right.
Which I've always enjoyed.
Fine pick. I ended up going with Promise You Girl. Another kind of a bit of a piano, up-tempo piano song that kind of gets buried as well in the album because there's just so much great material on this album. But I love the opening looking through the backyard of my life. I just love that. And that's another one, too, where you kind of just don't know what direction it's going to go in after he sings that.
Like a Keep Undercover thing. Same thing.
Exactly. You know, and then it goes into a more heavier, you know, piano rocker, which, you know, I kind of dig. And, you know, this is one that I've always thought was kind of underrated on the album. And you just don't hear people talking about this one.
Yeah. Not at all. And again, you almost went with that one, but a great pick, partner.
Yeah. So Memory Almost Full. And for me, I went do, 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 do.
Oh, you went with See Your Sunshine. Yeah.
You know, again, it's a fact where you just, I just don't see a lot of people talking about this one. You know, and I look at McCartney pages a lot, and you just don't see it.
Other than the loudness, right. No. Right,
exactly. Yeah. Other than the whoa. Oh,
damn. The hell did I just hear?
Yeah. Want to See Your Sunshine? I just it's a track that has a lot of great bits to it, and you know, especially the kind of like the middle eight to it. You know, she picks up daisies
from a field.
You know, which is I think is really cool. I think a great vocals from Paul on this one as well. So See Your Sunshine for me.
Good pick. I went with I'm Not Coming Down. No matter what you do,
Mr. Bell.
I went with Mr. Bellamy. Another oddball kind of a song in the vein of bogey music. Okay,
right.
Lots of different vocals. Paul kind of disguising himself as the voice of the cops to get the cat down. Steady, lads. Easy does it. You know, it's like again another one of these. It's like Sweetest Little Show. You feel like you're watching a movie in a 3 or 4 minute song. You know, you know, Bellamy's got a lot to do. And, and then it's just so much. There's so much going on. And then it ends with the come down, come back to me. And it just fades out. It's a funky little track on Memory Almost Full. I remember instantly liking it. But again, other, you know, The first time ever medley at the end of the album, of course, you know, that got a lot of that got a lot of praise. The singles, Dance Tonight, and obviously, you know, Ever Present Past, but those are two tracks that we felt for sure.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Mr. Bellamy is, like, because it's got the two perspective thing going on. I mean, this is, I'm glad he did this one by himself, but I would have welcomed maybe like a Peter Gabriel or, you know, collaboration on this one, you know, and hear like the two different voices. You know, I think Peter Gabriel would have been great as the police or whatever.
Yes.
You know,
that would have been, that would have been awesome having those two do that song together.
Yeah, I think this would have been a great fit for them. but we're moving on to new, and you're starting off there.
Could you be that person for me?
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Alligator for me. Which I know Tom loves. But I don't know if he picked that.
No.
Okay, good. I just think it's, you know, again, it's a case where, you know, a lot going on, you know, guitars are jangling. I want somebody to come home to, out of bed. And then it just does this left turn, you know, could you be, and I think that stuff is great.
Right.
The album's full of all, again, early days and new, and I almost went with I Can Bet, which is my favorite song on the record, but I went with Alligator, only based on, cause I know, actually I reevaluated it cause you told me how much you liked it. So yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because that's one that I don't consider to be underrated on the track. I mean on the album. So, but I'm fine with that pick. I mean, anytime anybody can praise that song, I'm for it because you know, first the moment I first heard that song, I recognized it and I thought it was, you know, going to be one of the best tracks on the album. And
yeah, you just knew it.
Is. I still think it is. But I went with Looking at Her.
Which,
you know, again, you know, I guess another track that I just don't see a lot of people talking about. And I just think there's some good aspects of it. I mean, there's a drum machine going on over there, which I don't mind, but it's okay. It's interesting enough to where, you know, you don't get bored with it. But Paul's vocal approach, I think it's, you know, kind of like a light falsetto-ness on that vocal, which I think is good. But you know, lyrically it's not his best, but I think it's still something to look at. And
well, that definitely a little drum machine going on there.
Right.
Everybody's looking at her.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah. That's a great good pick, partner.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Ease of Station, which is celebrating its third anniversary today as we're recording this, which is
that is crazy incredible
to think about. Crazy to think
That's
about.
That's incredible. So
happy anniversary to Ease of Station, which is an album I still enjoy to this day, and you know, I can't sing its praises enough. I know people have their issues with it, and I know there's those great extra, you know, bonus tracks that came after the release of Egypt Station that just would have made that album even better.
Should you know, all this.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And I know the tracks that people want off of it, you know, kind of, you know, for me, like the People Want Peace. I know Fuck You hasn't, you know, garnered much respect, you know, from a lot of people. And back in Brazil, I don't think it has caught on.
Ichiban.
Right. I went with a track called Confidant, which again is just, you know, my underneath the stairway friend, you know, singing about his old guitar. You know, which I think it's a really cool acoustic number, but doesn't feel like an acoustic number because it plays it a little. I mean, I'm not a musician, so I really don't know the right way to say it, but I mean, it's just not a, you know, it doesn't have that, you know, singer-songwriter acoustic feel to it as he's playing this, but in my opinion anyways, but I love the track, and I don't always see it on people's like top five favorite songs on
this album.
Right, on this album, yeah. You know, so, but Confidant is
a good one. Yeah, I know. Now, Dominoes is not the song I picked, but Dominoes has gotten a lot of heavy praise on this record.
Absolutely.
And rightfully so.
Right.
My pick might be a little more obvious because it was one of the first singles, but I think in the in the 3 years preceding it, tracks like Dominoes and Confidant have risen above this song. I think it's kind of gotten lost in the shuffles a little bit. Even like Back in Brazil and Despite Repeating Warnings and Caesar Rock.
Right.
And the song I went with was the opening single. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think in the media blitz that was Egypt Station and all the other configurations and the bonus tracks and the live show at Grand Central, that first, when that single dropped, it was like, that was like mesmerizing to hear that song. I thought it was a great song. I still think it's a great song, but I do think in the 3 years since this album's come out, it's slipped a little bit. Come On To Me. That was the big jaunty number that got that got a lot of play, and that's the song that they played with Jane Carpool Karaoke. But I think I Don't Know To Me is I like the Elder Statesman vocal approach that you hear in that song.
He
sounds old in it, and I just think it's dropped a little bit in all the kind of Egypt Station hubbub that has come out preceding that. It was up there. Like, I remember when the song came out, we heard it, right? And then the album comes out and all the other configurations come out. And I just think it's a song that's kind of done this a little bit, but I still think needs to be reevaluated and kept up there. Cause to me, it sets the mood for the whole record.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. I like it. I like it, and it's still, but I don't consider it this great piece. I'm still not sold on it as an album opener. I think it sets a tone that you don't feel for the rest of the album. You know what I mean? I just don't think, maybe
I understand.
Maybe if it opens side two, I could be fine with that. I'm still not sold on it as an album
opener. As an album opener, because a lot of the times he opens up his albums with a bang, and this one he didn't do that with this.
No, but an interesting decision to do that nonetheless. Which is fine. I'm fine with it. McCartney 3,
the last one, baby.
Last
you're up.
One. What do you got?
That's right. It's me. Thank you, Dylan Seavey, for this one. I'm going with Pretty Boys.
All right.
I was looking at the album this morning and just scamming it, just checking these tracks out. Should I go with? Pretty Boys to me. Not a lot. Listen, Kiss of Venus, now in the McCartney 3 craziness that we had that reimagined. A lot of these songs have been really kind of given a workout. They're very well known. Other artists have done them. Probably even more so than it's probably more well known than this. Women and Wives, Laboratory, all these songs I think are pretty much high in the consciousness of people right now because of in the Beatle world, of McCartney world, because it's so, it's so new. But I think Pretty Boys is the one that should be really reevaluated and looked. He's saying so much in that song. Like Dylan said, about his life, his career, you can look, but you can't touch. He's summing up and he's just basically taking the piss out of people really in that song. He is. And I think Pretty Boys is definitely one that when you look at the tracks in this album, that's the one to go back to.
Very cool. The track I went with is a song that I hopefully, goes down as one of his best, better rockers over the last, second half of his career, and that's Slidin'.
Slidin',
big fan of this track right away, and it's, I know we kind of get, he did it alone, but he didn't do it alone. the not so well kept secret, after I think it was it Rusty?
Rusty spilled the beans.
He spilled the beans on that one a little bit. But cool track. Love the lyrics. Love the feel to it.
Again, opening up right out of the gate. Boom, 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 boom. Talk about that. Would have been an album opener. That would have been, right?
Yeah. Either, side two opener or album. I would have been fine with that. I'm happy with how, it opened. I love McCartney 3. I think it's going to go down as one of his better albums over the course of his career. But yeah, Sly and Love It. I think it's great, and I think it's right there, you know, right at the level where it could, you know, take off as one of his better, you know, songs over the last 20, 30 years or so. But or better rockers, I should say. Groove It, Groovy, Love It, and yeah, man, damn, that was quick. That was those are overlooked songs of the, and we only matched three times, which is
That's pretty good. I knew we were going to match somewhere, but go figure.
Yeah,
Flaming Fly, Broad Street, and Flowers.
Flowers, yeah. So all 80s stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, but Andy, before we take off, anything you want to add before we start?
Not much. No, thank you. It's been, again, we took a little bit of an extended break here this summer to live life and do a few things. So we pumped out our Ranking the Tracks as audio shows on our audio platform, and took a break from doing the pre-recorded shows, which we're happy to kind of, it's almost like the beginning of a season, to kind of echo my former co-hosts the way that you guys did it, we did seasons, and to me it feels like the beginning of a new season now, a new year, but we're just rolling along, but it does feel like a new beginning. We've got a lot of good shows coming down the pike with us, a lot of content to go over, a lot of stuff coming down the pike between now and the end of the year. So that'll all be delivered via YouTube, and you know, keep liking and subscribing, and hopefully we'll get to that thousand mark.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that happens soon. We passed the 700 subscriber mark. So if you're listening, if you haven't checked us out on YouTube yet, please head over there, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Since we're going to see a lot, you know, we're going to do a lot more exclusive stuff over on YouTube, and hopefully you'll join us there. Right now we're in the midst of doing our 30 favorite non-Beatles related albums countdown right now. So, we just did, part two, and then part one's coming up, in the next couple of days, and then we're going to go even to another bigger countdown as well, which Andy kind of hinted at too, we'll talk about that on the last episode of our ranking the album non-Beatles related albums. So yeah, so thank you everybody. You can reach us at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. You can find Andy and I on Facebook. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, so yeah, you can check us all out there. And like Andy said, thank you for being with us. You know, we're going to continue doing the Ranking the Tracks on the audio formats once a month, like as we were doing before we took the break. So we'll continue doing that until everything's been released on audio wise. So again, it's been great hanging out with you, Andy. We're going to be hanging out here again soon in a couple hours.
We are.
Looking forward to that. So everybody, thank you once again. You guys mean the world to us. So as always, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care, everyone.